Turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. We're talking about running the race, talking about exhaustion. We're talking about God's grace is sufficient this morning. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. And at least I should be exalted above measure. Through an abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now we know this is our dear brother Paul. We all think pretty highly of Paul. Consider him one of the greatest evangelist teachers, you know, of that time or ever for that matter. You know, he went from persecuting God's people to being one of the greatest influences, you know, of the faith. And there's a lot of the things we read about in the scriptures, a lot of the things we hold to, you know, our brother Paul taught and preached it. And, you know, it's a big turnaround. But there comes a time in our life, in our Christian walk, or, you know, we're talking spiritually this morning about God's people, that we tend to get this abundance of revelation, you know, we tend to get over-exalted, you know, above what we should in our minds, you know. And Paul was given this thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was. I don't think anybody thinks it was an actual physical thorn, you know, in the flesh. But whatever the case might be, it was given. And I tend to believe it was, you know, the memories and the things of where he persecuted God's children, you know. And you imagine being Paul and having persecuted, you know, and tormented and killed, you know, God's people. Imagine having that to deal with and to have that in your mind the rest of your life. You know, we're forgiven by the grace of God, of course, but we always have that thing in the back of our mind, you know, those things that we did before we were saved, you know, those things that buffet us, you know. Imagine, you know, holding, you know, Stephen's robes, you know, and just being there and watching and taking place and taking part in the persecution of God's saints. I'm sure that bore on him. I'm sure he had that continually on his mind, and I'm sure it buffeted in him. And of course, that was a mark on his testimony as well. I mean, have you ever had or done something in your life and, you know, try to witness to others about Christ and they go, well, I know who you are. You know, Paul had to go. He had to try to build up this reputation as a changed, saved individual because, you know, they knew who Paul was. He was a famous, you know, he was famous. They knew Paul, you know, when they wouldn't even let him in. A lot of people didn't like him. They were scared of him because he persecuted Christians. It took him a long time, no doubt, to build up a better reputation, you know, and when they finally, you know, figured it out, you know, this guy isn't actually here, you know, let him in our church, you know, and you know, he's going to preach, Brother Paul's going to preach today, like, whoa, isn't he the guy that's going to, you know, hang us, you know, isn't he going to stone us to death, you know, and you imagine, he had to build a different reputation, you know, so he had those things that were always with him. So, verse 8 says, for these things I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. He prayed. He asked God, you know, we always talk about, you know, God's, you know, grace. We talk about his blessings. We talk about his mercy. We talk about all those things. We talk about prayer, you know, supplication, you know, and, you know, asking God. We go as far as to fast and to seek God's face, you know, in the Bible times, what do? They rent their clothes and sackcloth and ashes, you know, and they made it a point to, trying to make a point to let God know, hey, I'm actually serious about this thing. You know, I'm on my hands and knees. I'm in sackcloth and ashes. I'm down to the point where I've tried everything. I'm humiliating myself to the point of, you know, nakedness and sackcloth and ashes and just getting serious with God. But you know what? Sometimes God says, I'm not going to take away that burden because it's necessary. Sometimes God just says no. And that's hard. You know, my children have a hard time taking no for an answer. As God's people, sometimes we have a hard time taking no for an answer. I have a hard time taking no for an answer. Well, why not, God? Why not? Why not? For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for thee. Why is that? Why does the Lord allow us to endure things sometimes? You know, sometimes we get too high and mighty, we get too pious, we get too lifted up in pride and our knowledge and our understanding. We think we got it all figured out, and then something comes along and knocks us down a few pegs. Why is that? It says, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. What's the whole point? The point is to glorify God. And Paul probably did this more so than we do today. And he still had that thorn. Why was that thorn left there? It's to keep him humble, wasn't it? Sometimes we just have that old thorn that just keeps us humble. Those things in our life that keep coming back to us, that keep humbling us. We keep remembering from whence we came. Sometimes we forget from whence we came. From what? Where did God bring us from? Dad, you've been saved how long? You know, you're 70, almost 72. And, you know, you've been saved for quite a while. You know, and sometimes we get complacent and forget where we came from. Sometimes we forget where we could be without the grace of God. Without the grace of God, where would we be today? Where would you be today if you were not saved by the grace? Dad, you were driving motorcycles across the United States, you know. We're all, you know, you might, well, God preserved you, you know. You could be dead or, you know, and or you could be in a worse situation, you know. Drugs, alcohol, you know, all those things that befall the sinful man. We stop and we think about where would we be today without the grace of God? And it's humbling to think where God brought us from and where we could be without the power of God. And that's what Paul was saying here. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities. Give glory to God in your infirmities. Why? Because those are the things that show forth Jesus Christ. Must be a bike rider listening to his Bluetooth. In my weakness, he's made strong. That's outside. Somebody's bike, Bluetooth or something. Ain't us. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It's the power of Christ that compels. It's the power of Christ that changes people. It's not anything I can say, not anything I can do. We can lift up man all day long, but if the power is in the power of the gospel of salvation. And that's what Paul was saying. I'd rather glory in my infirmities. I'd rather suffer this infirmity and glory in God than to take pride in myself, to be lifted up in pride, to err from the faith. He was constantly reminded of his weakness. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress. For what? For Christ's sake. You know, we could suffer for a lot of things. We could suffer for a lot of reasons. But there's no greater reason to suffer than the cause of Christ. Think about it today. If you were to go out of this world, if you were to go out here and suffer for any reason, why would you want to suffer? Even, I mean, I respect our military, and they do a great work, and the Lord protect them and be with them. We ought to pray for our military. We ought to pray for our nation and its protection. But I tell you why, there's no greater rewards in heaven than to die and to suffer for Jesus Christ. What greater reward is there than a man lay down his life for Christ and the sake of Christ? For when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am weak, what happens when we become weak? Christ is there to help us. That's when Christ steps in. That's when the Lord steps in and shows His power, shows His glory. That's when it's manifested, is in our weakness. Now we can walk around all day, high and mighty and knowledgeable. You know, sometimes our life gets in really good circumstance, don't it? You may get a really good job making 150K a year. You may get a nicer house and a nicer car. You may be all lifted up in your education and your minds and all your self-worth and all the worldly gains and all the worldly worth of this world. But I tell you what, that stuff can be gone in the snap of a finger. Tell you what, it don't take much for that stuff to disappear. This whole world is decaying and passing away. There's nothing in this world that lasts forever. There's nothing in this world. You know, all those things are just filthy rags. All those things are just garbage. Paul would rather glory in the cause of Christ than to all the things of this world. The purpose of the trial, Paul understood, this thorn in the flesh, was permitted by God to keep him humble. Lest I exalt myself, he said, above measure, unless I get too caught up in my own wisdom. And this guy was, I bet you he was smart. Paul was probably a really smart guy. He probably outwit all of us when it comes to biblical understanding and different things. And God knew this. He knew this. He knew he was, you know, educated, you know. Paul understood this. Our weakness and our struggles often they serve a divine purpose sometimes, drawing us closer to God and away from self-reliance. God doesn't want us to be self-reliant. You know that? God doesn't want us to be self-reliant. We get caught up in our wealth and our health and all these things. And, you know, when things start to fall and fall apart, you know, God wants us to rely on Him. He doesn't want us to be self-reliant. He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to cast our cares upon Him, for He cares for us. He wants us to rely on Him and put our faith and trust in Him. So don't look at these trials and these circumstances as punishment from God. You know, if you're living like you should and you're doing things like you should and you're not living in sin and you're not doing, you know, living like the world, and, you know, God does punish His children. You know, if you are one of God's children, you're not in the right and you're living in sin, God will punish you. I guarantee you, whether here or in death, He will punish you. But sometimes He has to set us on the straight and narrow. Sometimes we get out of the way. Sometimes we start getting too lifted up in pride. That's what Paul's thorn was. He kept having this reminder, you know. Persistent prayer. Paul, great man of God, he pleaded three times for this affliction to be removed. It's right this morning. It's natural for us to pray for relief from our suffering. And we should. God wants us to rely on Him. He expects us to pray. He expects us to plead. He expects us to ask. He said, whatsoever you ask in my name, you know, according to His will, He'll give it to us. We need to ask. God knows what's best for us. You know, we hopefully, as parents, we hope we know what's best for our kids. And we, you know, sometimes our kids ask of things. We're like, no, like Felicity or Cecily, I think, came to me last night wanting, I don't know what it was, some kind of sugary sweet before bed. And I was like, no, you can't have that. It's like 5 minutes to bedtime. Like, my kid's already bouncing off the walls. One more honey bun and they're up all night. But, sometimes we ask things of God and he just says no, because it's not what's best for us. God's answer was not to remove the thorn, was it? What did he do instead? He provided grace to endure it. God doesn't take it away from us. He'll give us the grace to endure it. We can count on that as God's people. The promise, what was the promise? My grace is sufficient for thee. In times of trouble, we don't get an abundance of extra grace. We don't get under. We get the sufficient, efficient amount of grace every time we need it, when we need it. God's unmerited favor, his divine power, are all we truly need. His strength is not just shown in despite of weakness, but is made perfect or brought to fulfillment in our weakness. People go, how do you endure such trials and tribulations? The grace of God. How can you handle these things that come your way? The grace of God. Because his grace is sufficient for everything. Sometimes we go to ours, how are we going to make it through? Have you ever been in a situation where you go, I don't know how I'm going to make it through. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how I'm going to be able to handle this. And then somehow you do. That's that grace. That grace that's sufficient. That's the grace that God gives us in the time of need. That's one of the things about, we talk about, being a child of God and that joy unspeakable and full of glory and just, that blessed assurance, Jesus is my, and all those things, this is part of it. Living down this life, I mean, as God's people, we got to live here. God gave us this life. He's blessed us with it. We ought to take it and make the most of it and fulfill it. Those things that God has told us to do in his word. But sometimes life gets hard, even for the best of people, even for the richest of people, even for the most accomplished people. Life gets hard. But I tell you what, there's that unspeakable joy, that joy that we have that's unexplainable. And that's that grace that we have. Because you know what? Life gets hard. Times get hard. We have deaths in the family. We have problems in life in general, financial. We look at our world and we can be concerned about our country and the state of affairs of the world and all these things. But I tell you what, as God's people this morning, we have that blessed assurance and that grace of God will be sufficient for us no matter what we go through, no matter what the trial, no matter what the circumstance. God's grace will be sufficient. And that's that joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's that presence of God that is with us during those circumstances. And that's when we feel God's presence the most. Sometimes we get too self-reliant. God brings us down so he can. God wants to walk with his children. God wants to be with his children. He wants us to communicate with him, whether in prayer, whether reading the scriptures, whether going to church, or whatever the case might be. God wants us to communicate with him. And he wants to have a relationship in that sweet fellowship with his children. And if he has to bring us down a peg to get us to that point where we can have that sweet fellowship, he will do it. Now people are like, well, that's a vengeful God. You hear all this stuff all the time. Why is such a wonderful God? Why would he be so? Because he wants to have that relationship with his children. I want to have that relationship with my children. We're only men, and we want to have a good relationship with our children, don't we? We want to see them saved by the grace of God. We want to have things in common with them. We want to be able to hang out with them and be able to do stuff. And, we don't want, kids that are living in sin not doing what they shouldn't be doing and have no cause to want to ever be around them because they're so worldly and out of the will of God and all those types of things. We want that fellowship, even as God, worldly parents. How much more does our Lord and Savior want to have a relationship? I'm not talking about Jesus Christ with the lost world. I'm talking about Jesus Christ with his people. He wants to have that relationship with his people. He wants to have that close fellowship with his people. Sometimes we just get too lifted up in pride and we get too self-reliant. God wants us to rely on Him. We rely on Him for our salvation. We ought to rely on Him for everything. We ought to pray, God, provide that job. God, provide me the ability to take this test I got coming up Tuesday, or actually next Tuesday. It'll be probably the hardest test I ever had to take. And so, you know, we pray, God, you know, give us the grace. Give us the ability to do it. And when He does, give Him the glory for it. Praise the Lord for it. Because God has blessed us with those blessings. God has given us all things. And our God is a God. That's all, like that song says, our God is an awesome God. He is an awesome God. And He loves His children. He wants us to be faithful. God's faithful to His word. He wants us to be faithful to Him. My grace is sufficient for thee. This reminds us of God's unmerited favor. His divine power are all we truly need. His strength is shown despite of our weakness, but is made perfect. The shift in perspective. Upon receiving this answer, Paul's entire outlook changed. He went from pleading for the trial's removal to glorifying in his infirmities. He understood that his weaknesses were the very platform upon which the power of God would rest and be displayed. You know, that's for us to manifest. When God has done things in our life, we give God the glory for it. We manifest that to others around us, and people see the working and the display of God in our life. We need to give God the glory for what He's done for us. When He was at His weakness, Christ's strength was made evident in His life. You know, sometimes we get discouraged. We get depressed. And we start thinking, God, where are you? And I tell you what, He comes and He shows us where He is. And He manifests His grace and His power and His glory. I tell you what, that's more to be desired than just going through this life and just cruising through life. Seeing the manifestation of God in our life is the peak, it's the pinnacle of a Christian's life. It's when you can stand back and see, you know the heartbeat, you know, those EKG, you see those monitors, beep, beep, beep. Those are the high points, you know. Every Christian's life, they can see those high points in their life. That's when Christ was there taking care of. That's when He rested with. That's when He took care of them. That's when He carried them through. That's where He brought them out. All those high points. You know, our life can just be a dead old life just cruising through, or we can have the manifestation of Christ in our life. Paul gloried in those trials. He gloried through those persecution. He'd rather suffer persecution with the children of God. This morning, as God's people, we ought to rejoice in the persecution of this old wicked world. We talked about that last Sunday. You know, if the world loves us, you know, then something's wrong in our life. If we're not manifesting Christ, if we're not preaching Jesus Christ, if we're not living like Christ, you know, if we do, we will suffer persecution. You know that, right? If you stand up for what you believe, if you give God the glory, you will suffer persecution. It may be snarls, it may be different types of things, but you will suffer. But we can glory in that suffering. Why? Because we know that Christ is with us and we're doing what's right. Nothing like a clean conscience. Nothing like a godly conscience that's clean. We are saved this morning, not by our works, but by grace. And that same grace through faith is what carries us through this life. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 through 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. You know, that's a wonderful gift. That same grace that saved us is the same grace that'll keep us till the day we die. It'll keep us through all those circumstances, those trials, the situations, all those things that come our way. For my grace is sufficient. Grace is the sustaining power. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I want you to look at that and tell me what you see there. There's an action that takes place, isn't there? There's a sign of faith in Christ. There's a sign of faith. What is that? We took action. Do we believe what we read? Do we believe what we think we believe? If God's grace is sufficient, what do? When trials and circumstances and turmoils and persecutions and all these things come to pass, what do? We go boldly into the throne of grace. It's the throne of grace. Why? That we may obtain mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is the same thing as unmerited favor. It's the same thing as something we don't deserve, but it's given to us of God. It's one of those gifts that we're given through the gift of salvation. Through that grace comes mercy. We're given mercy. And to find grace to help in time of need. God knows we're going to have needs. This world is, you know, it's not like the Lord looks down on us as His children. You know, He doesn't see anything that's happened to us that didn't happen to somebody else before. You know, the Lord looks down upon us. This has happened before. Same circumstances. Probably, you know, how many born-again Christians are in heaven that have been through the same thing we've been through? Trials and circumstances. I don't care if it was Brother Bomber or other people that have been saved, whether it was, you know, you're having car problems or health problems or house problems or kid problems or family problems or whatever the case might be. God looks down. He says, there's nothing I can't take care of. The other saints have gone through the same exact thing. I'll walk with you the same way I did with them. I'll be with you the same way I was with them. And like we said last Sunday, whether it's through death or whether it's through life, God will take care of His people. He will give us that grace in time of need. So let us go boldly. When we have problems, when we have situations, when we have lost loved ones that need prayer, when we have church members, or where we have sisters, we have like you know, brothers and sisters in Christ, our sister churches, our missionaries in Peru or in Philippines and other places, those that are being persecuted for the cause of Christ, where do we go this morning to ask and ask for help in time of need? Where do we go? We go boldly to the throne of God. We go boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain. What does that mean? We actually have to go for it. We have to actually go and ask, you know. My kids, I love it when they come and say, "Hey, Dad, do you mind if I..." That way I can at least say no. You know. But God loves it when we come to Him before the throne of grace and say, "Father, will you please, I'm asking, will you allow me to do that? Will you give me this? Will you save my children? Will you, you know, give me reprieve? Will you help me in this situation?" God loves it when we do that. He's standing. You know, I love giving things to my kids. I love blessing my kids. And I always tell them, I'll always be there. I always try to do the best I can for you. But, you know, Jesus Christ, our Lord in heaven, He owns everything in this world. He can give us anything we want. He can give us the desires of our heart. And a lot of times we just need to ask. And sometimes He has to humiliate us, or He has to, you know, we have to be humbled to go before the throne of grace to ask. Because we think we got it on our own, or we think we can, you know, accomplish these things on our own, but we can't. You know, we got a lot of, you know, as I say, we got a lot of tools in our tool belt. If we would just take them out and use them, it's like trying to use a hammer on a Phillips head screwdriver, you know, on a Phillips head screw. You know, when the time comes, we need to ask. We need to go through the right channels. We need to ask God for these things. Sometimes it's our last resort. Oh, did you ask God? No, I forgot all about that. It's like the greatest tool in our tool belt is our Lord and Savior. He's the one to ask. He's the one that will give us anything. I don't know how. I don't know how He'll give it. I don't know how He'll accomplish it. He may use the lost. He may use your pastor. He may use who knows? Who knows what God will bless you with? Who knows who He will use in your life if you only ask? I've had people do things for me, and not of the faith, not Christians at all, but they were a great blessing. God uses people. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who they are in your walk of life. But God could use them. He can bless you with that. Grace this morning, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Grace in abundance. God never runs out of grace. And He's never too tired of hearing us. The problem is He's too tired of us not hearing, too tired of not hearing us. He wants to hear us. The problem is we don't. He gets tired of us going to worldly sources, psychiatrists, and we go to, the bank, or we go to these people and those people, we go to here, we go there. We never go to God. He ought to be the first source we pull out. We ought to go to Jesus Christ first. And then He'll bring all those other things to us. He'll allow or cause those other things to take place in our life. And sometimes we could get in a situation, it might help, maybe even cure the issue. But sometimes there may have been a lot better source. It might have been a lot better, way to fix the problem if we'd only asked God. God's grace is abundance. God's grace is not a limited source. It is not scarce. It is boundless. Romans 5 verse 20 says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense may abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." God's grace did much more abound. God's grace is not only sufficient, it's sufficient enough to last through the entirety of the circumstance, through our entire life. God's just not like, all right, you got this little amount of grace I can hand you out, so good luck, and you don't use it all up now. No, God's grace is sufficient through the entire circumstance, through your entire life. The children of Israel, we see as an example in their manna. God did not just give them a month's supply of food at once. He provided sufficient manna for each day. Exodus 16, verse 4 says, "His grace is a daily provision." We ought to ask God. We ought to pray every morning. We ought to ask God to give us those things we need. Pray for those things. He will give them. He may. Here's the thing. We're in fast food American culture. If God doesn't instantly give us, we think, "Oh, Jesus said no." We prayed the night before. It didn't happen that Monday morning or whatever. We're just going to try something else. Patience. Patiently wait on the Lord. We get too impatient with God. God's grace is sufficient. He will provide. We just need to be, what's the song say? Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Just sit down and pray and wait for the Lord. Sometimes we pray and nothing happens and we just, I'll just try the next thing. No, God will provide. We just need to wait. We see that in Gideon's army. God reduced Gideon's army to a mere 300 men. To fight a vast army. Why do you do that for? Why do you do that? So that the victory could only be attributed to God's power, not man's strength. It's there in Judges 7:2. That's why God does it. God's, what's that song? I like that song. God's in time, on time, every time. He's never late. He may seem late to us, but He's always there right when we need Him, at the very hour that we need Him. He's never late. The prophet Elijah, fleeing in despair, Elijah was sustained by an angel who provided just enough for his journey. 1 Kings 19, 5-8, God's grace met him at his point of exhaustion and fear. God's grace was there. When we're exhausted, when we're fearful, that's when God's strength is made manifest. That's when we can be encouraged. We can look up and go, all right, it's just about time. We can be thrilled and excited to know that at the last hour, God will be there for His people to take up for you as God's people. The lesson here in 2 Corinthians 12 is one of transformation. God does not promise us a life free from thorns and trials or weaknesses. Instead, He promises something far greater, His all-sufficient grace. This grace is the divine enablement to not only endure our hardships, but to thrive in the midst of them, all for His glory. Let people see you in trial and circumstance. They see you thriving. Go, how do you deal with it? How can you handle this situation? It's because of the grace of God. It gives us opportunity to tell others about Jesus Christ and what He's done for us and His blessings on our life. When you face these trials, these thorns, be it physical, difficult relationship, financial struggle, spiritual battles, remember the promise of our Lord, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Don't despair in our weakness, for it is the very place where His strength is perfected. Learn as Paul did to say, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." Trust in His provision. Lean on His power. And sometimes we just need to sit still. We gotta be careful about free will and all that stuff, but sometimes we need to just allow God to work in our life. Sometimes we can jump the gun. We can get ourselves in a pickle, as my friend said. You can get yourself in a pickle. You can get yourself tied up in a thing. You can get yourself, if you just waited on the Lord and allowed Him to work, if you sat still long enough and quit getting so anxious and excited, and then see the Lord work in your life. See what He will do. Because He will do it. We're just so impatient. Trust in His provision. Lean on His power. And watch the grace of God work through our lives. It can be an exciting time if you think about it. Imagine being in your weakest moment and the Lord shows up to intervene. There's nothing like the power of God. You see there, with Elijah, some of those great prophets, and how God intervened and how God was with them and how He used them in mighty ways. God can work with us in the same ways. He can stand. He's there with us every moment. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And what He did then, He can do now. He will be with us. We may not like the way He's with us. We may not be very accepting sometimes. Things happen in life. We don't understand, why people die. We don't understand why, things happen in life. We're just carnal human flesh here. And sometimes we don't understand it, but you know what? It's not for us to reason. It's not for us to understand, but to trust and obey. To count on God for everything. And that's what He wants His children to do. To trust and obey. What's that song say? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. If you're saved by the grace of God and you're Christian this morning, to be happy in Jesus, you have to trust in Him and obey His word. And part of obeying His word is what? Come before the throne of grace. And ask